Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by Racetech. Enough of time has gone through the season that you probably should have your suspension serviced, or at least get the suspension perhaps updated because either your speed has gone up, or maybe you've been packing on the pounds after 4th of July. Either way, contact Racetech and you can save yourself some money by mentioning Big MX Radio. Like I said, I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt, with me on the line. Really excited to chat with this kid. He is flying it for all those RM Army faithful out there, especially in the mini classes. Chase Brennan, welcome to the Big MX Radio Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, dude, I'm excited to have you on, man. It's not just the fact that you're on the Zooks. You have the skills to pay the bills. You were recently over in Europe. We're going to talk about that. But before we dive into to that trip, tell me a little bit about Chase Brennan. Who the heck are you? What are you about? And what class are you racing?
So I'm Chase Brennan, obviously, as you said. But I ride a Suzuki. I'm 14 years old and kind of been racing since 5, 6, kind of. So been putting in a lot of work because I'm a little down on power, but we've been figuring stuff out. So,
Well, that's awesome, dude. You're from SoCal, for those who don't know. You've been hard at it, and you've got a lot of talent behind the controls. What do you attribute that as far as, like, the hard work put into the technique side of things with motocross? Dive into that a little bit of some of the guys that you've worked with. The fact that you're on RM250 or RM125 or RM85s, you got to talk to Buddy Antonez at some point. Like, and the fact that you're SoCal, like, has he given you some good advice on a bike that he basically helped develop in the 80s?
I think I remember in Minios, I think like 24, he said something about when we were there, but I don't really remember anymore because I got knocked out that week. So yeah,
that would be a good reason as to why you don't remember. So yeah, I guess let's address the elephant in the room, so to speak. Why the heck do you ride Suzukis of all things, man? Obviously the bike's competitive, and we'll get to the one that you were riding over in Europe. The Suzuki gets a little bit too much hate. You make it look pretty good out there.
Yeah, so it all started off with we went into Langston Motorsports and we saw Suzuki RM85 for $3,600 and the KTM, like the newer 25s or whatever it was like $8,000. And we were like, my dad was like, I was like, don't even look over there at the Suzuki. And I was like, and my dad was like, we got to get it. So we traded in my 65 that I raced at Loretta's for that. So we got like a discount. So we got it for like $1,900. So, and I was like crying because I didn't want to ride the bike. We took it as a joke at first. And after I rode it the first time, I was like, dang, you know, this bike's pretty good. And we kind of been just going there. You know, the biggest problem is probably the suspension. Just, I don't know, it's a little outdated. So we've been switching a lot of stuff with the suspension. So I think we're getting that figured out for Loretta's.
See, yeah, that's one of the things that I was most curious about, because when it comes to super minis and in the mini senior classes, I think the hardest thing when it comes to building a really good super mini isn't power. A lot of them can get locked, like it can juice up an engine and get a lot out of it, even though it's an 85 or in some cases a super mini. But getting the bike to be able to handle the rigors of what you guys put them through, and actually having the bike have hold up in the corners. Like, I don't imagine that you would be feeling like the front end is diving on you at all times, just trying to get, do you know what I'm saying? Because you guys kind of ride with a lot of intention and weight on that front end and trusting it quite a bit. I would imagine that that's quite a journey and honestly, probably a frustrating one at that. How have you sort of gone about that as far as being a bigger kid now, being like physically a little bit stronger, and also probably being the fastest you'll ever be on those bikes? So it's kind of like a double whammy in some respect.
Yeah, it's when we first got on, we were on Enzo, And then we moved to Olin's, and we kept going stiffer and stiffer springs to just try and get it stiffer and stiffer. And then I think we're on the max springs that we can go. So there's like no more stiffer. So, I think we've maxed out the stiffness on this.
Fair enough. So now we have to search for some plushness to go along with it. Do you pride yourself on being able to be a guy who can kind of test and tinker with a dirt bike to get it to handle better? Is that an enjoyable portion of the craft for you?
Not really, honestly. I kind of want to get out there and just ride, you know.
Just go for it.
That's kind of just like, you know, building. You got to build a platform that you can, because I feel like if I'm comfortable and I'm riding good and I feel comfortable on the bike, like, I feel like I could win every time I'm out there. So I think comfortability is the biggest part with not just me, but probably with everybody. So, yeah, I think that's a big part.
So, racing out of Southern California, your schedule throughout the year, I assume Cal Classic, do you do the Texas two-step down for like Spring Nationals?
Yeah, I did Freestone and Springing. Yeah, I did both of those.
What type of time commitment is necessary for that? Like, are you doing full homeschool and that whole deal? How do you manage that? And how do you sort of balance that with family life?
I'm homeschooled, fully homeschooled. So I don't know. I don't really like school that much, but I kind of, you know, do it to, you know, you need to work out your mind, you know? So I think it, definitely you could have more opening spots to ride and family time. So I do get to see my family every day, you know, but we get to go to ride and tracks with my mom, my dad, my brothers. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
There you go. And for those who it's not surprising to say you don't like school. I'd say the average 14-year-old isn't super stoked on school. So that's completely fair. What's your favorite SoCal track?
Probably Fox or Lake Elsinore. Yeah.
Lake Elsinore? You would put Elsinore over Paris?
Yeah. Well, the new Lake Elsinore, the old Lake Elsinore is so good.
Yeah, I think I packed up and went home early in too many days at Elsinore. I did not love that experience riding there a few years ago. You're also a One Industries athlete, and that's pretty neat for 2025. It's kind of like a reemergence of an iconic brand that existed before you were born, honestly. It's sort of its heyday. What kind of experience has that been working with Pilo and those guys, and sort of helping that brand sort of reestablish itself? And they did help you out with some pretty solid gear that you wore a couple weekends ago, or just this last weekend.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to work with One Industries and all the guys over there. Obviously, getting me that custom gear for Czech for Team USA, and that set was pretty fire. And it's been pretty, really good working with them, because if we ever needed something, they overnight it, you know. I think the first day that we signed with them, the next day we got our gear. So that's really handy if you need to go to like a regional or a race the next weekend, and you got it, you know, on your front door the next day. So I think it's, you know, they've done like custom stuff with me. So I think it's really cool working with them.
Hey, yeah, you gotta love working with a company that makes you feel appreciated. And they've come out with some pretty damn good looks, not only in yesteryear, but yeah, the red and the blue different sleeves. That's a great look. Can't say enough good things about what those guys have been doing over the last little while. I guess that's a great segue into the trip that you just came back from. You were over in Czech with Team USA, the MX Junior Championship, and it looked like it was a successful venture for you. And you did get to throw the leg over a pretty iconic RM85. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was really fun going over there. Honestly, kind of want to move over there. How you know, clean and everything is compared to over here. Yeah. And the bike was really, really weird to begin with, because suspension was soft, and every time I would go down with the suspension, it was nice. And then the next day, second day testing, we figured out the front wheel was hitting the pipe. So
Okay. I was gonna say the pipe looked a lot different on that pipe than the one that you run.
Yeah.
The pipe you run is more angular and straight. This one was sort of more tucked up underneath.
Yeah. Something with the pipe, yeah. And then the second day we figured out I was hitting the pipe. So the guys were three guys were working on my bike. My dad and my trainer were just sitting back watching. Usually my dad just is on the bike the whole time, but he didn't have to do anything that week. So we were watching them, and we came up with a bunch of ideas, and then we had to weld a different pipe, a KTM 80 pipe, 85 pipe, 2025, into the Suzuki. I don't even know what kind of thing it is. It's kind of like it's got like a bunch of parts on it. It's got like a Yamaha, Honda part on it. So it's like the guy's a magician. That's what we kind of call him. So
okay.
It somehow it worked, and it got me third overall. So I think it worked out pretty good.
Fair enough. Well, the bike looked sick. Like
yeah.
and you got to at least appreciate the fact that it had a shroud on both
Yeah.
sides.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Suzuki still runs a single shroud on the 85, although Kawasaki, I don't think it has two radiators, or maybe they've changed it recently, but for the longest time, it was just like the one on the one side is just a dummy radiator, or like it's just essentially a bracket that allows it to have two. But yeah, the fact that Suzuki's never gone away from the one-sided shroud is hilarious to me. Just never changed. But so what's the story behind this bike? Because I think you're not the first person to ride it, right?
Like in the past years?
Yeah, like I think there's been a couple of guys who've gone over that ride Suzuki's that like this has been like a bike that's been used by other athletes in the past, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Cochran and a few other guys used it in the past in like 2020, but then like their amateur team went away in 2020, so we kind of like brought it back in a way. So I think we're bringing back Suzuki.
Yeah, single-handedly, dude, you're absolutely doing it. What classes are we running in at Loretta's? I got to imagine 14 years old, you'll probably be stepping up to a big bike at some point. Please tell me that you've got an RM125 in the works.
Yeah, we've been looking at an RM125 like around our city, and we've been looking, and I think we might go to 125 after Loretta's. We're trying to figure out some parts and other things around that. So we're working to get a 125 in the works.
That'd be very cool. So what class are you running for Loretta's? Are you in Super Mini, or are you Mini Senior still?
Mini Senior 1 and Mini Senior 2.
Mini Senior 1, Mini Senior 2. That's one of my favorite classes to watch. You guys are just, like, I think, like, you can kind of vibe with me on this, is that, like, that's sort of the age where, like, most of the guys at the top are probably physically too big for the 85s anymore. Like they're sort of just like they're on their way out. A lot of them already have some time on a 250F because they've sort of like they're aging out of it. But because of that, they have so much control of the bike, because a lot, like, compared to how, like, when you first got on 85s, you were probably like 10 or 11. Like, it's, you just have a, even though there's some super fast kids at 10 and 11, they just don't have the body strength to be able to throw around a super mini or a mini senior bike the same way a 14 year old can, as you're kind of going through puberty and all that, all that bullshit. Is it kind of cool being able to like race at the top of that class and with some other guys that are pretty bad dudes on mini cycles?
Yeah, it's pretty bad to be up there, you know, not like bad in a bad way, but like bad, you know, in a good way. So I think it's pretty cool to be up there in the top dogs, you know, for Loretta's. I think it's really important to, like, I think like some of these littler kids, like, not that they're little, but like it's not they don't, okay, I'm going out, but they don't like to, they probably wouldn't like to be little, but like I think me being a little bigger can control the throttle and use the throttle a little more in some places that, you know, they couldn't really, and move the bike around more.
All good. I think what you're trying to say is just being physically stronger allows you to hold on the gas a little longer in certain sections where if you're smaller, you just don't have that leverage, that power. And yeah, I think you're totally right on that. But I think it's very neat that, like, the fact that you guys at the very top, like I thought of like last year when I was watching, Darren Pine and Gage Brown at like when they were at the absolute pinnacle of super mini racing, like as much as they're competitive, they also have to take a moment and be like, this is pretty cool being like the fastest four or five dudes on the planet at doing exactly this. And, you're certainly in that conversation. What's the goal for Loretta's? Is that obviously a championship or bust or what?
Yeah, the goal for Loretta's is to obviously win. But if we could at least salvage top three, I mean, I'm hoping for a win. I don't really accept anything else besides that anywhere I go. So I think I've been putting in a lot of work. So we're going to come out hard at Loretta's.
Fair enough. Who's your favorite guy at the pro level to watch? And why do you like watching them run?
I'm going to say Jet. It's kind of like a basic answer, but I feel like I watch his technique, and it may not like translate to the bike, but it's on 85. You kind of have to go all out, and you have to. I try to be patient and work on those things, but once I get to a bigger bike, I think my technique will around more, so I don't have to use all the throttle, all the gears, you know. So I think watching Jet, I like Jet as my favorite rider because his technique and how he can move around the bike, being so smooth and light on the bike.
Very neat. Yeah, Chase Brennan here on the Big MX Radio podcast. Chase, I really appreciate you making some time for the podcast. This was fun. I hope we can do it again sometime, perhaps after you're wrapped up with Loretta's. I know you've got an impressive list of sponsors. I probably can't remember all of them offhand, but give those individuals a quick shout out for me, and I'll let you get on with the rest of your evening.
Yeah, I want to thank Mom, Dad, BC Goggles, Suzuki, Arm Army, Pro Circuit, One Industries, Pro Circuit, I already said that.
You can thank them twice. We can definitely thank Mitch and Pro Circuit twice. They would help you with that RM125, by the way.
Yeah, I want to thank Mitch for building my motors.
Hell
and Throttle Syndicate. I'm forgetting a bunch, but I can't really remember. But yeah.
Love it, dude. Well, hey, I really appreciate you making the time. Don't hang up just yet, but for podcast sake, we'll cut things off right there.